Because that's where our faith has to be built. It has to be built on the cornerstone, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where our lives have to be built. That's where our foundation needs to be, because it's a foundation that cannot be destroyed. It's a foundation that earthquakes cannot crack. It's a foundation that sand cannot sink. It's the only true positive thing we have in life is our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessing it is to be here and able to celebrate the risen Lord. For he is risen. You know, I've heard all week, Easter's canceled. Well, friends, you know what? Easter is canceled. But Resurrection Sunday is not canceled, because Christ is no longer in the tomb. That tomb is still empty. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, waiting for the day that the Lord God sends him back. What a glorious day that will be. So for those of you that might be wondering what my sermon's going to be on this morning, I'll keep you in suspense no longer. It's going to be on the resurrection. Amen? I can hear you laughing through my telephone. I hear you laughing. So if you have your Bibles, open to Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to begin in verse 57. And we're going to start off talking about the burial of Jesus, and there's a reason why this is important, and there's a reason why we're going to talk about it this morning, because it ties in so well with the love that many had for Christ. There was a lot of people during Christ's ministry and during his crucifixion that loved him. And we can't really fault some of them, I guess. Some of them followed him in secret. They couldn't let the world know or the authorities know because of their jobs and their status in the community. But friends, I'm going to tell you, that's not the way to serve our Lord and Savior. We don't serve him in secret. There's no need to. So in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 57, it says, "When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and then Pilate ordered it be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite of the tomb." As I mentioned just a second ago, Joseph was a secret follower of Christ. Joseph was also a Pharisee. And because of his place in the community and his place in the temple, he followed Christ secretly. And so what is truly amazing about these verses, there's a few things, but the first is he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Christ. And normally when a person is crucified, they are left to hang on the cross until there wasn't much left of them. The birds got at him, the weather got at him. They left him there to detour others from committing crimes that could also get them crucified. But Joseph could not stand to see his Lord hanging on that cross, so he goes to Pilate, and Pilate gives him the body. Pilate didn't want to crucify him to begin with. In fact, Pilate's wife had a dream, if you'll remember, and told him, "Have nothing to do with this." And so Pilate washed his hands of the crucifixion, even though the Jews said, "Let the blood of Christ be on our hands and on the hands of our children." And so Pilate gave up the body, and then Joseph took the body and he wrapped it up as they did back in those days. And I believe that he took great care and great time to do it correctly, because he loved the Lord. And then he put the Lord and placed the Lord in his own tomb, which was brand new, that he had cut out of the rocks. And then he sealed the tomb. And the way he sealed the tomb was they rolled this big stone in front of it. And then he poured hot wax around it to seal it, to make sure that nobody could enter into it without it being known. And that's so very important that he put that wax on that stone. Because you see, we'll see here in a few minutes that the Pharisees were worried that the disciples would come and steal the body of Christ, because Jesus had declared that he would rise from the dead in 3 days. And so the Pharisees were worried that the disciples would come and take the body. In fact, we see that in Matthew 27, verse 62. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will arise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers, go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Again, Pilate didn't want to have anything to do with it. He said, "You got your own guards, send them." And again, there's a reason why these guards needed to be there and not Pilate's. And we'll see why here shortly. It's amazing how God plans things. Down to the very last detail, down to the very last man that was put there to guard the tomb. God chose that man. God put that man there. And we'll see why here shortly. And the crazy thing is the Pharisees, they feared Christ even after they killed him. I believe that they were beginning to see the truth. They were beginning to see they might have made a mistake, but because they were so wrapped up in the world and so wrapped up in their own power and their own self-righteousness, they still couldn't see the truth, but yet they feared him. And if he was an imposter, if he was not who he claimed to be, then what did they have to fear? They did not have to put guards at the tomb, because if it was me, if I was one of these Pharisees, it would have been easier to have somebody follow the disciples. Because what did the disciples do after Christ's crucifixion? They went up to a house and they went up into the upper room and they hid because they feared the Pharisees. So it would have been very simple to put somebody outside the house, front and back, to make sure that the disciples didn't leave. But you see, the Pharisees and the chief priests, they still feared the Lord. And that's why they crucified him. Because they feared him. It wasn't because they thought he blasphemed God. They feared him. They feared the power that he had over the people. And he had power over the people because he was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And praise God, there was a multitude of people during Jesus' ministry that came to know the truth. There was a multitude of people that knew that he was the Messiah. But you see, the majority of the people during that time was looking for an earthly king. And because he didn't come in all his majesty and all his righteousness and riding that big white horse and bringing his army, they couldn't believe that a person as humble and self-sacrificing as Jesus could be the Messiah. Now let us talk about the resurrection. Praise God. The resurrection. Without the resurrection, there could be no salvation. It took the death and the resurrection. Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, or chapter 10, verse 9. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he had risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there I will see them, or see me. There they will see me." Now, before I get in talking about the resurrection, I need to back up just a little bit. Why 3 days? Why did Jesus have to lay in the tomb for 3 days? Why didn't God just resurrect him there on the cross? Why didn't he resurrect him after 1 day? Because Jesus did not just lay in that tomb taking a sabbatical. He did not just lay in that tomb taking a nap for 3 days. Jesus had work to do. Jesus went to Hades, and there he defeated death. He defeated Satan. He broke the chains that bind each and every one of us. We have no excuse. We have no excuse to say, "Well, this has got a hold on me, or that has got a hold on me." If we would just give it to Jesus Christ, he has already told us that he has broken every chain that binds us. Everything that Satan comes against us with during those 3 days, Jesus had gone to Hades and he destroyed all of it. But the reason we allow ourselves to remain bound is because we don't have faith. We don't have trust. But friends, when the Holy Spirit finally gets through to us and we the Lord allows us into that deepest, darkest hole that we've ever been in, then we have no choice but to trust and have faith in God. And then we can see how Jesus will break every chain that binds us. He did not just lay around having a sabbatical. He was busy about doing the Father's work. God the Father's work was not completed yet. And so Jesus took care of that in those 3 days. Conquered death. Psalm says, "Oh, death, where is your sting? It no longer affects us. We may die an earthly death, and we may not. I pray I go up in the rapture because I want to see the glory in that. But if it's not meant to be, then I'll die my earthly death, but then I'll be resurrected just like Jesus Christ." And when Jesus left that tomb, friends, he wasn't in that old beat up scarred body. Praise God, he had been given his resurrected body. Again, he received his deity upon himself. Remember, during his time on earth, he did not leave his deity in heaven. He did not lose his deity. He chose not to use it. He chose to be man. He chose to be flesh. And he chose to depend upon the Holy Spirit that we had today. And if the Holy Spirit is good enough for Jesus to trust and carry him through his time as man, then why would we not trust that same Holy Spirit? So Jesus didn't just lay around. Jesus accomplished amazing things that affect us today. But getting back to his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection marked the first time in history that someone rose from the dead never to die again. Lazarus rose from the dead, but then he died an earthly death. The others that Jesus raised from the dead and the ones the disciples or the apostles raised from the dead, at some point they did die an earthly death. But Jesus died and was resurrected, never to die again. Without the resurrection, there would be no gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, "And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now, if he abolishes death, and he brings life and immortality to light through the gospel, then that tells us that this gospel is a living, breathing entity. It is the Word of God. It is a living Word. It's just not ink on a piece of paper. There's never been and never will be a book like it. But you know what's sad, friends? This is the most sold book in the history of the world. But it's also the least read book in the history of the world. There are so many families in this world today that have this book, and they might even have the big family size book, and it's sitting on their coffee table, and it's got their name inscribed on the front of it, just so their neighbors can see it when they come to visit. But if you opened it up, the pages would still be sticking together. There would be no wear and tear. What a shame. What a waste. The most sold book in history, but also the less read. And we wonder why our world's in the condition that it is. But praise God, God's working on that, amen? He surely is. In John chapter 10, verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Jesus prophesied of the resurrection. Isaiah prophesied of the resurrection. If the Pharisees had thought about all they had learned about the Old Testament, then they would have known that Jesus was who he claimed to be. But we also know that they had to be blinded for Jesus had to be crucified for our sakes. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 says, "And the living one died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and Hades." That's what he was doing during those 3 days. He went and took the keys of Hades from Satan. He defeated him. He abolished death. All for us. Think about that. All for us. Shouldn't that tell us how much God the Father loves us? Again, it's a love I don't think we can truly comprehend until we meet Jesus face to face. We try, and we should try hard every day to duplicate this love. But it's hard to imagine. There's been many, though, that have died for their belief in Jesus Christ. There's many dying today. We think of this pandemic and how bad it is, and it is bad, but there are still Christians in Nigeria and places like that that are being martyred every day because they refuse to deny their faith. They refuse to deny that Jesus Christ is the living and risen Lord. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 11, "While they were going, behold, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place." We're going back now to those specific guards that were put there at the tomb to watch over it and to make sure that the disciples didn't come and steal the body of Christ. "And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'Tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed, and this story has spread among the Jews to this day. You see, friends, that's why it had to be the Pharisees' guards and not Pilate's. The Romans wouldn't care. The Romans wouldn't lie about what took place. But these guards of the Pharisees, they were offered money, the root of all evil. Amen? The root of all evil. And so they paid him off. And so they knew the truth. And then it says at the end of verse 15, and this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. It is sad that God's chosen people, the Israelites, still do not believe. But praise God, the book of Revelation tells us there'll come a day when they will be witnessed to by 144,000. And they will come to know Christ as their Savior. God is going to send 144,000 evangelists just for the Jews. What a blessing that will be for them. And they will come to know the Lord as their personal Savior, because God has not forgotten about His chosen. That's why the United States, praise God, has been smart enough to protect Israel and to be a friend to Israel, because they are God's chosen people. And if we are to be friend and protect anybody, that is who we should be protecting. Not that they really need us. They have God. One of the smallest countries in the world. And everybody and their brother almost have tried to not only defeat them, but wipe them off the face of the earth. But yet, it cannot be done. So friends, as we celebrate this most holy of holy days, let us be reminded of what took place on this day. Let us be reminded that the prophecy of God's word came to pass on this day over 2,000 years ago. Could you imagine being Mary Magdalene and the other Mary walking down the road, or maybe perhaps even running down the road to go tell the disciples that Jesus is alive and He's resurrected, and then all of a sudden He appears right before you? And what's the first thing they did? I pray it's the first thing I'll do when I stand before Him. They fell to their knees and they worshiped His feet. And Jesus showed them love. He showed them love by appearing to them. And then He tells them, go and tell my brothers that I will meet them in Galilee. And then, friends, as Jesus met them in Galilee in chapter 28 and verse 16, when the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them, when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus, in those few verses right there, tells us many things. He tells us that He has been given all authority in heaven and earth. Satan has no authority here. Satan can only do what God allows him to do. And God only allows him to do what fits into God's plan. Satan's so stupid that he don't even realize that he's helping God accomplish God's plan. He has too much pride to admit that during the 3 days that the body of Christ lay in the tomb, the spirit of Christ was in Hades, and he beat the dirt off of the devil. You hear me? He beat the dirt off of it. But like most men, we don't want to admit when we got beat. Come home, two black eyes and a broken nose. Nope, he looks worse than me. But Satan himself will one day bow down and confess that Jesus is Lord. And then he also says, he gives the disciples the great commandment, the great commission. Go and make disciples. What are we as children of God? What are we as recipients of the free gift of salvation? We are disciples. And so this great commission that Jesus gave to the 11 passes down to us. And we too are to go out and spread the gospel. Not just spread the gospel, but also baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have an obligation to teach them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded. And then Jesus promises one last thing before he ascends into heaven. He promises that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. He reaffirms to us what Paul writes, that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. It's that promise and that promise alone that gets us through ordeals like this pandemic that we're facing. If we believe in God's word and we believe that this word is all truth, then we have to believe that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us until the end of the ages. What a powerful promise that is. What a powerful thing we have to hold on to. And friends, we need to hold on to that more today than ever. And you know, I look around the United States and I try to find some news that I can trust. It's kind of difficult. But I had a hard time with our government when they said, need to close the churches up. Don't have more than 10 people. I had a hard time with that. And then myself and some of the local pastors, we discussed it and we thought, you know, we have to do our part. Scripture tells us that we are under the authority of those that God put above us. And what they're asking us to do is done to help save lives and to help keep from spreading this disease. And so we decided, yep, that's what we needed to do. But here lately, some churches have, I believe, thought of some inventive ways to still have church, such as what they call drive-in churches or services. And I watched on a video in Mississippi the other night where this church was holding a Monday-Thursday service. And the way they had the service set up was the preacher was going to be in the church preaching, and another fellow had the equipment to use a low-frequency FM channel to broadcast it over the radios of the people's cars. And so they would have never got out of their cars. They were asked to keep their windows rolled up. They would have had no contact with anybody else. But yet the mayor of this town found out. It was Greenville, Mississippi. And he had 20 police cars show up before the service begins. And as the people showed up, the police warned them if they didn't leave, they would be issued a $500 ticket. And it was just that day that the governor twice had declared that it was okay for the churches to have these drive-in services. But the mayor decided to take upon his own authority and make it illegal. And so there was a multitude of people showed up and got tickets. Not $500 a car, $500 a person. And so that begins to worry me a little bit. And so it's important that we keep our eyes on what is happening. I still believe now is the time that we don't gather. I trust the medical professionals, and praise God, I have somebody that I can talk to about this. And when they say that they believe it's safe, then we'll consider gathering again. I also heard that our governor, I was on a teleconference with the health department this week, and they informed us, regardless, when the stay-at-home order is lifted, we will not be able to gather as a church until there is a vaccine. That is what our governor says. And so I don't want anybody to get upset or get all bent out of shape. I'm just wanting you to be informed. What I say is we wait and see, because things change daily. And I'm praying that God will touch our governor's heart. And if we're able to open businesses back up, I'm praying that he'll allow us to open the church back up. And as long as medical professionals say, yep, it's okay if we do certain precautions, then I pray that we'll be able to gather shortly. But it's important that we stay abreast of things, but be careful. Be very, very careful of what you read and what you believe. I've been doing my best to stay up on this, and I've talked to the health department quite a few times, and they're very good. The lady that we had our teleconference with, I felt so sorry for her. She was just the messenger. But yet, she got beat up a little bit, and she shouldn't have. So if you do have a question and you're not sure of the answer, get a hold of me, and I'll do my best to find you the answer that is most trustworthy. And praise God. Amen. The virus has not attacked our county. I'm sure it's here, but praise God, there hasn't been anybody made sick enough that they had to be put in the hospital. It's all around us. But for whatever reason, God has decided, for now anyway, to put a hedge around us and protect us. And so we must listen to what the medical professionals say. Wear a mask. You know, try to stay separated. Only go places that you need to go. And we'll see where it goes. But at the same time, we have to remain aware. God gave us wisdom, and he gave us a brain to think. We can't just follow blindly. And so with that being said, again, I thank you for joining us this morning. And again, remember what today represents, but only don't remember it just today. Remember it 365 days, that Jesus died for us. God raised him from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father. God still sits on the throne, and God will determine what takes place. We put our faith in him, not in the world, and we'll come out this on the other side, and we'll be fine. For we are God's church. We are not the world's church. We're not the government's church. We are God's church. And as long as we remain faithful and seek him in all things, then we'll have nothing to be concerned about. So if you would, bow your head and let us pray as we close out this wonderful service that God has given us. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we thank you that you still sit on the throne and the Son sits at the right hand and you're still in charge. And God, we just thank you so much for the sacrifice that was made by you and by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we are so thankful that you were willing to sacrifice your Son for us. And Lord Jesus, we just give you praise this morning, and it's my prayer that we would continue to praise you each and every day for the cross, for the cleansing blood that you shed for me, and for any that would be willing to accept you as Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you did during those 3 days. I thank you for defeating death. I thank you for defeating Satan. I thank you for breaking each and every chain that binds those who may not know you. Father God, it's my prayer this morning that all who may have turned from you, may the Holy Spirit minister to them. May they reflect on this time of uncertainty and this time of difficulty and come to realize that the only hope lies in you. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that for those that don't know you as their personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit again would work in their lives and be manifested in a way that they come to know the truth. That they too may receive the free gift of salvation. That they too may receive the free gift of eternal life with you. Father, whatever the purpose of this pandemic is, Father, I just acknowledge that you are in control, and I acknowledge that you will bring your children through this, and you will make us stronger, and you will build up our faith. Father, we just give you praise and glory this morning, and Father, even though we are separated, Lord, if it's possible, whether it be by phone or by live stream or whatever the case may be, put somebody into our lives this week, this day, that we can share this truth with. Let us be a vessel and a tool to be used by you during these uncertain times to share the gospel. Let others see your light shine through us through these difficult times. Let us be self-sacrificing. Let us be humbled. Let us continue to seek you. And I ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you so much.